Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bloody Pit of Rod. Right now we are, of course, in the winter months. It's very cold outside. But this has been a very odd weather winter for us here in the southeast of the United States. And we haven't had much... Okay, we haven't really had any snow. And from day to day, it can be cold or it can be warm. You could be outside in shorts or you could have to put on a jacket. And so I haven't really been able to get my groove on with the whole winter joy that I really kind of love. I love the change of seasons, people. I love the fact that each year gives us those seasonal changes, and it makes me happy. I do different things at different times of the year. I enjoy different things at different times of the year, and when we don't get an actual winter, it kind of hacks me off, to be honest. Anybody who follows my blog, The Bloody Pit of Rod, notices that during the winter, I have a tendency to talk about old pulp fiction, older movies in general, more than I do at other times of the year. That's because, I don't know why, but during the winter months, I feel the desire for older entertainments. Kind of, it's almost comfort viewing and comfort reading. It's a cozy thing. I want a hot mug of tea or hot chocolate and a blanket around me while I watch some neat old movie or older television show or read a great old pulp novel. It's those kind of entertainments that I long for during the colder months. And when we don't have those colder, snow-encrusted days, I kind of get weird. But no weirder than average, I guess, just weird in a different way. Here's the thing. One of my fascinations, and I have a lot of them, of course, especially when it's with older media, is Tales of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Now, I've never been to Canada. I've never met a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman. I don't know anything about them outside of the fiction that I read in the movies and the TV shows and, the crazed pulp stories. There's a good collection of pulp stories built just around Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and I'll try to include a link on the page when I post this episode. But years and years ago, when I first started getting interested in old-time radio, I stumbled across the radio show, The Challenge of the Yukon. Now, this show lasted for a long time, and I just dove headfirst into it and really enjoyed it. And then I discovered that eventually the show became a TV series as well. Really, really, really enjoyed those things. Of course, I love old-time radio, so that's just part of it, I guess. But this is a fairly solitary fascination for me. I don't really have anybody anymore who shares this particular fascination with me. I'm it. I used to have one friend. I used to have a buddy who really enjoyed this stuff as well. He has unfortunately since passed on. His name was Jack Daves. And he shared this particular fascination, I guess, with Canadian mounted stories. And he actually went out of his way to discover some that I'd never even heard of. There was a series of low-budget ones produced in, I believe, the 50s. Renfrew of the Royal Canadian Mounted. Fun stuff. Low budget, kind of along the same lines of, as you might expect, B-Westerns or even C-Westerns. We're talking low budget stuff. But fun nevertheless. But since Jack passed away several years ago, really I don't have anybody else in my life who's fascinated or interested in these kind of things. And so when the winter months come along and I kind of get the hankering for this kind of thing, I'm it. I'm the guy who's diving into it and wallowing around in it and kind of enjoying it. So it's just me. But I wanted to share this fascination with, well, whoever in the heck listens to these podcasts. So, today you're going to learn a little bit about The Challenge of the Yukon and the central characters thereof. That would be Sergeant Preston and his dog Yukon King. Also, I'm going to include one of the radio shows. They're about 15 minutes long, or at least the first several years of them were 15-minute long shows, and then they went to the 30-minute format. But I'm going to include a few different little bits and pieces of ephemera that circle around the whole Sergeant Preston and the Challenge of the Yukon show to kind of give you a taste of what they're like. You'll get an entire show here in the podcast. You'll get a song. You'll get the intros to the TV series. Things like that, so that you'll know kind of what this stuff is and whether maybe you'd like to explore it more yourself in the future. It's kind of fascinating. if you're into old B Westerns, which are fewer and fewer people these days, I realize, then this is the same kind of thing. It's just usually set in the snowy wastes of the Great White North. So, hang on. I'm going to dive headlong, give you a whole lot of information about the show and its various incarnations. And then I'll play you one episode and a few funny bits and pieces here and there.
Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police with Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog breaking the trail in the relentless pursuit of lawbreakers in the wild days of the Yukon.
Okay, let's give you some information about Challenge of the Yukon. Challenge of the Yukon was a radio series that began on Detroit's station WXYZ, and that was the same station that had produced the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet radio shows as well. It's an example of the Northern genre story, stories of the Great White North, mostly almost always tales of, as that intro tells you, tales of the Gold Rush times. Usually these stories are going to be set in the late 1800s, the same period of time Westerns are generally set. The series was first heard on February 3rd, 1938, and the title changed from Challenge of the Yukon to Sergeant Preston of the Yukon in November of 1951, remained under that name through the end of the series, and that's what the TV series later on was called as well. The program was an adventure series about Sergeant William Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police and his lead sled dog, Yukon King, as they fought evildoers in the northern wilderness during the gold rush of the 1890s. Preston, according to radio historian Jim Harmon, first joined the Mounties to capture his father's killer and then became a sergeant later on. Preston worked under the command of Inspector Conrad, and in the early years of the show, was often assisted by a French-Canadian guide named Pierre. Of course, French-Canadian guide, what else would he be named? Preston's staunchest ally, who was arguably the real star of the show, and indeed often did more work than he did, was the brave Alaskan husky Yukon King. Typical plots of the show involved the pair helping injured trappers, tracking down smugglers, or saving cabin dwellers from wolverines, or saving people from inclement weather, as you might expect. Sergeant Preston's faithful steed was Rex, used primarily in the summer months, but generally Yukon King was his dog, and his dog team were the key mode of transportation, as signaled by Preston's cry of, "On King! On you huskies!" The show's episodes always ended with the official pronouncement from Sergeant Preston, "Well, King, this case is closed." Following the success of The Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet, the station manager of WXYZ asked for a similar adventure show, but with a dog as the hero. According to the radio staffer Dick Osgood in his history of that station, he insisted that it not be a dog like Lassie because it must be an action story. This has to be a working dog. So that's where the idea for Yukon King came from. Now, Challenge of the Yukon began as a 15-minute serial, airing locally from 1938 until 1947. Shortly thereafter, the program acquired a sponsor, Quaker Oats, and the series, in a half-hour format, moved to the networks. The program aired on ABC from June 12, 1947 to December 30, 1949, and it was then heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System from January 2, 1950 through the final broadcast on June 9, 1955. In November 1951, the title changed to Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, and it stayed that way through the TV run. One amusing thing is that when you listen to one of the radio shows later on, you'll hear the sounds of the dog barking and whining. Well, those howls and whines of the dog were supplied by one of the station's sound effects men, a guy named Dewey Cole. And I never knew until doing some research for this show that those were anything other than dog sounds. Maybe I'm just naive, but they seem pretty realistic and effective. Now, as with most things that would appeal to a younger audience in one way or another, there was a Sergeant Preston of the Yukon comic book series that lasted from 1951 to 1958. It was published by Dell Comics. Now, there were only 29 issues of it. When it first popped up, it appeared biannually, then quarterly, and then it started popping up in the weekly catch-all series Four Color Comics. But it assumed its own numbering with issue number 5, most often as a quarterly, but also occasionally bi-monthly. All issues were written by Gaylord Dubois, and most of them were illustrated by Alberto Giolitti. Now, these are the guys who created Turok, Son of Stone. If you have any idea who Turok is and his various incarnations, those guys did the Sergeant Preston of the Yukon comic book as well back in the 50s. Now, in 1955, the same year the radio show ended, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon premiered as a TV series. Richard Simmons, not that Richard Simmons, starred as Sergeant Preston and was supported by Yukon King and Rex, now played by real animals. The dog cast as King was not a husky, however, but a large Alaskan Malamute. And although I've watched a number of episodes of the show, to be honest, it never occurred to me that that dog is not a husky. Those two breeds just look a whole lot alike. And I guess you'd have to be some kind of dog connoisseur or expert to really pick out the differences, I suppose. Anyway, though no plot lines seem to have been reused from the radio show, they were generally built along the same themes. The same few buildings were regularly seen as many settlements in the show. The additional visual component of the snowy Yukon, however, did give the television version a different feel from other shows. But, like all such things, were filmed on a stage set. The frosty breath of people in Arctic conditions could not be simulated. Generally, however, there was an outdoor feel, though a few times shadows on the skyline could be seen. And it was a low-budget TV show. Genuine outdoor scenes were added to give the show some reality, though the viewer could not help but notice a sameness to them as they were all filmed in the same area and reused at times. This is kind of typical of 50s television shows, where you're going to get the same buildings used. Hopefully the directors are creative enough to showcase different angles and things of that nature, so you're not necessarily going to, you're not going to notice it as quickly as you might otherwise. Now, the show was mainly filmed in Ashcroft, Colorado, and the show was on from September 29th, 1955 to September 25th, 1958, so it lasted 3 seasons. Now, in 1955, the Quaker Oats Company gave away land in the Klondike as part of the Klondike Big Inch land promotion, which was tied in with the television show. Genuine deeds, each to 1 square inch of a lot of Yukon territory, issued by Klondike Big Inch Land Company, Inc., were inserted into Quaker's puffed wheat and puffed rice cereal boxes. And man, I'd love to have one of those just to get it framed and put on the wall. What a cool thing. It reminds me of the thing that Jack Daniel's Distillery does, I think still to this day, where you can buy a square inch of land at in Tennessee at the distillery. And I think you're named a colonel or something like that. I can't remember exactly what the deal is. But it's funny, I thought that Jack Daniel's were the first to come up with that. But it would appear this stretches back at least to the Sergeant Preston TV show and Quaker Oats doing this particular promotion. Now, as you would expect for any show that lasts for as many years as Challenge of the Yukon or Sergeant Preston did, it became kind of a cultural touchstone in a large way. So there were a large number of spoofs and parodies over the years. The great radio comics Bob and Ray came up with their own version called King Yukon of the Northwest, which was a rabid dog who viciously attacked the Mountie and all around him. Two episodes of the animated series Dudley Do-Right paired Dudley with a wild wolf who he attempted to train in the manner of Yukon King. More recently, in an issue of the comic book Cerebus the Aardvark, bungling superhero The Roach posed as Sergeant Preston. The National Lampoon Radio Hour parodied Sergeant Preston in Corporal McInerney of the Northwest Mounted Library Police with Yukon Glenn the Wonder Moose. In this parody, Corporal McInerney tracked down a trapper, Frenchie Lemaird, who had broken an unwritten law of the Yukon by keeping the only copy of the Kama Sutra within 500 miles out past its due date. Now, the title Sergeant Preston of the Yukon was also used for a song written and performed by Ray Stevens for National Recording Corporation. The producers of the program, the Yukon King program, of course, the Challenge of the Yukon, objected to Stevens' use of their character's name without permission and threatened him with a lawsuit. Unaware he had committed copyright infringement, they agreed to pull the record and King dropped the suit. luckily, that song is still around today. It's not like various versions of London After Midnight. They weren't destroyed one way or the other. So keep your ears peeled, and at the end of the podcast, you'll get a chance to hear that.
Back to the days of the gold rush as Sergeant Preston with his wonder dog Yukon King meets the challenge of the Yukon. This is the Yukon, the territory patrolled by Sergeant Preston. 200,000 square miles of the most beautiful and rugged country on earth. Gold country, invaded by a horde of adventurers ready to risk and dare anything in their fevered search for gold. Last Chance, a mining settlement 23 miles east of Dawson late in the summer of 1897. There was great activity in Campbell's trading post. The mail was going out.
And address it to Miss...
All right, now I'm going to let you get a listen to an episode of the old radio series. This one's called Scorpion Sam's Gold. It's one of the 15-minute long episodes, and it's from 1945. I believe it was broadcast in October of 1945. So give this a listen, and you'll get a sense of why I like these shows and why you might as well. I find them to be very entertaining and a lot of fun. They're great adventure fiction, very much in the pulp adventure vein. If it's your kind of thing, believe me, there are ways to find them out there on the World Wide Web, and you can track some down yourself. Here is Challenge of the Yukon with Scorpion Sam's Gold.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
On King, on you Husky.
The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets... The Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police, who preserve law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. Many hard winters and many disappointments had bent the shoulders and silvered the hair of old Eric Hansen, who owned the trading post at 40 Mile. But on this cold winter evening, Eric's step was lighter, and he was cheerful and high-spirited as he took two bags of gold nuggets from Jim Peters for safekeeping and locked them in the huge iron safe of the trading post.
Well, Jim, yes, you're getting rich. You got more gold stored away in this safe than any prospector in 40 Mile.
That claim of mine is sure producing.
Here, wait now. I'll give you a receipt.
Why? Why, your hand's shaking. You're so darn excited about that granddaughter yawn coming that you can hardly write.
I sure am. Ain't never seen her. I've lived alone so long that...
Why, it's going to seem funny having a little girl around here.
Sergeant Preston should be here any minute with her now. He's bringing her up here for me. Jim, you know any fairy tales?
Fairy tales? Now, let me see. Seems there was one about Cinderella, and sure, I remember, Red Riding Hood.
Maybe we better not tell her that Red Riding Hood. She's liable to try talking to one of these timber wolves up here.
Okay, come on, your husband.
Yeah, that sounds like Preston now, eh? Hello.
Hello, Larry. Come on, Sally. Here we are.
Come in, come in.
Bring King, too. He'll get cold.
King's coming, dear. Well, Eric, here's your grandchild.
Sure. Sure, this is Sally. Come here, child.
Gosh, ain't she pretty?
Are you my grandpa?
Yep, I'm your grandpa.
You got nice white whiskers.
Well, he washed them up special for you.
I'll give you a nice big hug.
Oh, she's all right, King. He's not hurting her. King and Sally got to be good friends on the way up here.
Can't blame him much for worrying, seeing her hug a big whiskery old sourdough like Eric.
He isn't hurting me, King. He's my grandpa. And this is the first time I ever saw him.
Oh, Sally, I haven't met Jim here. He's an old friend of mine. I guess you better call him Uncle Jim, eh?
Hello, Uncle Jim.
Welcome to 40 Mile, Sally.
Well, I guess we better get home right now.
Where is home?
Well, I used to stay in the back of the store here, but when I heard you was coming, I got a little cabin on the edge of town. You'll have lots of fun. I bought a sled. We'll get a dog to pull you around on it.
We'll take you out there right now, Sally.
The following morning, Sally squealed with delight as she sat on the sled to which Sergeant Preston had hitched his big lead dog, King. The big dog seemed to enjoy the fun as much as the child and started off carefully at her command.
I think she'll be all right, Sergeant.
She asked so many questions on the way up here that she knows as much about driving dogs as I do.
Come on in, Sergeant.
You don't have to worry about her as long as she's with King. He'll take care of her.
It's strange the way he seems to have taken to him.
Well, I guess King has the same reactions that we men have. The bigger and stronger we are, the softer we get when we meet a little girl like Sally.
Sit down, Preston.
Thanks.
I'm glad I have a chance to talk to you alone for a few minutes. I got something I want to tell you.
Oh? Why, sure, Eric. Go ahead.
It's something I've been wanting to tell you for a long time, but I ain't had the nerve. It happened before I came to White Horse, before I knew you.
Yes?
Before I came here, I was prospecting up near Indian Creek. Never had any luck, just got enough gold to live on. Well, an old man lived in my claim. He was the meanest cuss I ever seen. We used to call him Scorpion Sam. He hated everybody, and nobody ever went near him because he threatened to kill anyone who did. Well, one cold day, I passed his cabin and didn't see no smoke coming out of his chimney. I don't know yet why I did it. Curiosity, maybe. But I went up and pushed his door open and looked in. His voice whipped
it. Why, there's no one in here, her.
I thought there might be something wrong with you. Why are you in bed with no fire? Are you sick?
You don't think I'd be laying here if I wasn't, do you? Shut that door.
What's the matter with you?
I got a gun under this blanket. You try and rob me and I'll kill you.
I'm not going to rob you, you sour old fool. But if I don't build a fire in here, you're going to freeze to death. What happened to you?
I broke my leg. That don't mean I can't protect myself and my property.
Well, Sergeant, that leg was a mess. I nursed Scorpion for 3 weeks and got nothing but abuse for my trouble. But I couldn't just leave him there to die. Well, after he got better, I was the only one he'd ever speak to. He was kind of like an animal that wanted to be friendly, but just couldn't bring himself to do it. One evening, the following spring, I was coming back from a hunting trip. Two men, Jake and Kramer, was with me.
I'll sure be glad to get to your cabin, Eric. I'm so tired I can hardly put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, look, there's been a fire. That used to be Scorpion Sam's cabin. It's burned to the ground.
Sure has. Nothing left but part of the floor.
I wonder where Scorpion is.
Here he is, or what's left of him. He was burned with the cabin.
Must have got trapped in it. Oh, well, there ain't much lost.
Gosh, the poor old fella.
Hey, look, right there beside his body. What's that shining? Why, it's gold.
Gold?
Sure is. And look, there's more of it under that burned board beside him.
He must have had his gold under the floor and was trying to get it out. That's how he got trapped.
Sergeant Preston, it was more gold than I'd ever seen before. I've been digging in and grubbing for years. Never got a tenth that much.
Scorpion Sam was a miser.
He sure was. Anyway, and this is the hard part to tell. Jake and Kramer and I divided that gold three ways. Nobody knew about it. Then we left Indian Creek. I came to 40 Mile and started the trading post with my share. Jake and Kramer went somewhere else. Well, it's bothered me ever since, but I never done nothing about it. But now that Sally came here, I feel as if I got her squared up somewhere. I hope you don't feel as if you have to risk me.
Well, Eric, it was wrong, of course. I think the thing for you to do is return the money to Scorpion Sam's heirs, if he has any.
But how can I find them?
I'm going over to headquarters in Dawson. I may be able to find out something about him from their records. He must have filed a claim.
That'll be fine, Sergeant. I want to get it off my conscience.
A It was evening 4 days later when Jake and Kramer stood across the street from Eric's trading post. The wind had risen, and the mercury was dropping rapidly as the Yukon night closed in.
Oh, gosh, Kramer. I can't stand here much longer. It's getting so cold, I'm numb all over.
You won't have to. There goes the last customer. This is the first chance we've had to get Eric alone. He's closing the place up. Hurry.
If he won't give us the combination of the safe, maybe we could blow it up.
We can't. That place next door is too close.
Well, if he won't
give... We'll get it out of him some way.
Sorry, boys. This proves nothing. Oh, Kramer, Jake. It's you, eh?
Yeah, it's us. We ain't been able to see you alone, Eric.
Well, I'm sorry, but I have to get back to my cabin right away. I left Sally alone and the fire must be getting low. I have to get back right now.
You're talking to us first in the back room.
But I tell you, I can't. The temperature's down to 20 below and still dropping. I got to get wood in that stove before
back room. Maybe this gun will make you move faster. Yeah. Jake, bring that lantern back here. There ain't no light in the store. Nobody will come in.
Sure.
In here, Eric.
But I tell you, I have to get home.
Stop blabbering. I'll hit you over the head with this gun and you'll never get back to the kid. Something over that window, Jake, just in case.
Sure.
Kramer, what do you want? I have to get back to Sally.
You do, huh? Well, all you have to do, Eric, is to give us the combination of your safe. We'll let you go back to it.
What? Are you crazy? You ain't going to get it, Kramer.
Oh? Well, we got plenty of time. Maybe you'll give it to us when the mercury drops about 20 more degrees, which is doing fast. Maybe it'll take 6 hours before the cabin is cold enough for your granddaughter to freeze to death. But as I said, we got plenty of time.
Hey, you dirty coward. Using Sally, you wouldn't do it.
Freezing ain't a bad death. She'll just go to sleep.
You yellow curse.
All you have to do to save her is to give us that combination, Eric.
I won't. All the men is trusting me with the savings of my friends. I tell you, I won't give it to you.
As Sergeant Preston neared 40 Mile, it was very late and the temperature had dropped to 40 below. Though there was a light in Eric's cabin at the edge of town, Preston had no intention of stopping. But King had different ideas. He left his place at the head of the team, rushed to the door, scratched at it, and barked.
Hold it, Husky. Hold. King, come back here. It's too late to visit. We have to get home. Come here, boy.
King. Sergeant Preston. Help me.
Sally. Sally, what are you doing up at this hour? And this cabin's freezing. Where's your grandfather?
Oh, I'm so glad you came. I'm so cold. Grandpa didn't come home. And the fire's out.
Oh, you poor child. Here, hop up in this bunk. I'll cover you up and get this fire started. Here, King, get up here beside Sally.
You'll keep me warm.
Now, as soon as I get the stove going, I'll look for your grandpa.
Oh, don't go away.
I'll leave King with you. You won't be afraid then, will you?
Oh, no. King, you're a wonderful dog.
Though Eric's store was dark and seemingly empty, Sergeant Preston entered it quietly. As he walked toward the rear, he noticed a crack of light under the back room door. Cautiously, he crept over to it and listened.
All right, Eric. Getting cold even in here with the fire going. Your kid's probably half froze by this time.
Hey, please let me go, Kramer. I'll give you anything in the store.
We don't want nothing but the combination of that safe.
Even if I give it to you, you'll probably kill me so I can't tell who robbed me.
You won't tell, Eric. Because if you do and we're caught, we'll tell about the time we all split Scorpion Sam's money three ways.
All right, two, up with your hands.
Where are you?
I'll take those guns.
You ain't got anything on this money. We were just sitting here talking to Eric.
And I overheard part of the conversation. You were holding him here against his will with the intention of robbing him. I also heard you admit robbing Scorpion Sam.
Oh, you did, huh? Well, then you're going to have to arrest Eric, too, or we'll testify that you're protecting him.
Uh-huh.
He helped us do it.
I guess he's right, Sergeant.
So unless you want to put Eric in jail, maybe you'd be smart to let us go.
Eric hasn't committed a crime.
He certainly has.
Looked up the record of Scorpion Sam, as he was called. His claim was filed under the name of Sam Ralston. Eric, I guess you were the only man who was ever kind to him. He left a sealed envelope with the claim agent to be opened after his death, and he left everything to you.
To me?
Yes, Eric. You robbed yourself. You robbed yourself and split your inheritance three ways, and then you disappeared. Someone else took over the claim after a sufficient time had elapsed. That's all there was left, so they stopped looking for you.
And I'm not a thief.
No, Eric. Come along, you two. I'm putting you in the local jail for the night.
Sergeant, I got to get the cell right away.
Don't worry about Sally, Eric. She's all right. The cabin's warm, and she isn't alone. She has the best protection in the world. My lead dog, King.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They are sent to you each week at this same time and reach you from our transcription studios. Al Neal speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Well, there you go, folks. I hope you've enjoyed this short little episode focusing on a very strange fascination of mine. It's not something that everybody's going to enjoy. It's not something that everybody's definitely heard of this day and age. I mean, Sergeant Preston television series has been off the air since 58, and although the shows have all been issued on DVD, it's not exactly like they're sitting on the shelf in your local shop where you can just go and pick them up and look them over and wonder what the hell this is. So I hope you've enjoyed this look inside my, weird little mind about a show that went from radio to television, lasted for a few decades, but now is very, very, very underknown, underappreciated, and just kind of almost invisible. So thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed what you heard. And if you need to, if you want to, remember you can drop me a line at thebloodypit, all rammed together, thebloodypit@gmail.com, and tell me what you think. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Say, bah! And they say, much, all y'all huskies, all them huskies say, bah! Well, Dirty Dan, a sneaky villain, robbed a trading post one day, killed off 4 or 5 Eskimos, and made his getaway. He won't get. Wonder Dog stopped dead in his track. Give out a mighty sniff, start sniffing all around there, cause he knew that Dirty Dan was behind the next snowdrift. And Sergeant Preston say, on King, on you great husky, and that great husky say, Sergeant Preston say, get him on, say, sick him, say, tear him up, that big dog just tear through that snow, them teeth burned, them ears back, that tail stacking straight up there, just a shaking his head from side to side and breathing fine. He say, oh! Will they brought that